So welcome to wow, that was a large start. Welcome to Fragmentum episode 17. So I have now just arrived at my mother-in-law's, so I'm recording this at hers. So if you hear any strange background noises, it's the TV being whacked up to full volume. So I wanted to do a quick little microcast on my laptop, just talking specifically about the Apple Education event that we saw recently. Just gonna grab my tea. So I don't know whether everyone has seen the Apple event. Hopefully they have. Okay, so the Apple, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the Apple Education event, and in particular I want to put a shout out to the fact that on the latest Accidental Tech podcast, and I'll link this in the show notes in ADP, John Siracusa really kind of hits the nail on the head in terms of the problems that Apple currently have and face in education, and that their approach to it may not actually be as valid as may appear. So I just lay down a few caveats, really, I think, in this regard before I just talk in general about it. It's one, I'm obviously a big Apple fan. People know that. I think their products and services generally are really good. I have a number of issues that relate to that, but we're going to specifically try and just keep on the education front. I am an educator, so my teaching being an educator has been predominantly in higher education, although I've been an external advisor for some further education, and I've done some sort of under 12 teaching to small groups. Our youngest daughter is homeschooled by my wife, who has worked in the education sector in both the private school and a comprehensive school, and our older two daughters went through standard comprehensive schools. So I got quite a broad understanding of education, but I'm going to talk specifically about Apple's move in this space and some of my concerns, and hook that through to some of the things that John Siracusa touched on, and really try and, you know, add on that as an educator. So the one thing really is that I think it is fair to say that Apple aren't really interested in education. They haven't been for quite a while in general terms. I've seen a massive change in the way that they deal with institutes, in particular universities, over the last few years, and it's not in a good way. They don't understand the nature of budgets and things that schools and universities and colleges are under, and so that is unfortunate. The other thing I will say, though, is that so let's take a few things. It's one of the big things they showed at the end of this clip was this idea of using iPads to create a video, you know, charts and whatever around the theme of gravity. Now, I am a huge fan of experiential learning. I think it is the way you learn. It is the best way of learning, by engaging with a myriad of inputs in various ways, be that, you know, field trips, outgoing, to try and synthesize ideas around a specific thing. But what I would say is that is a great way of learning specific skills. But in that video, they're not really learning the skills around what gravity is. They're learning a whole bunch of other skills around communication, around teamwork, around editing, around decision making, around presentations, etc. I don't think the core learning there was actually gravity. There are much better ways and more interesting ways of doing gravity. And of course, they showed one of those really interesting ways in that video, where it's the dropping of two items of varying different weights and how they actually land together. And that shot in slow motion is great. I've seen that used in schools, I've seen that online, and that obviously is a great way of trying to explain that there's, you know, some things to understand, but of course there's a load of other stuff in gravity that is really important. So I think that video is great in terms of like showcasing experiential learning, which is about learning by doing and learning by immersing yourself, but I don't think it necessarily was really showcasing learning science in that instance. Also, the key thing to remember here is that the technology in education is proved, you know, really to not be of much benefit. Actually, what is beneficial is great teachers, great resources. So, you know, small class sizes, teachers who can provide experiential learning. And so that is really important. Now, you can use technology to go about doing some of those things, but it often is not the technology that's important in any shape or form. It's about how you get the students engaged. So like a really simple example might be, you want to do like a straw poll in a class environment to get a gauge of how thing, you know, where the audience is and where they might be thinking and things you might need to work on. And one issue with that is if you do it, you know, with hands up, it can be intimidating. Some of the shy students maybe are less confident to put their hands up, or maybe they've missed something. Whereas if you use an anonymous poll, then you can gather a bit more of the, you know, reading of the room, figure some things out. Maybe you can tailor some of the teaching to address the broader needs. And you can do that obviously through mobile technology, where you can get people to use polling software to respond to a situation. But you don't need the software. What you need is that ability to have anonymous and consideration of what might make up that classroom. So the technology, sure, maybe enables that. But 9 times out of 10, when I've done these kind of things, I wish I'd stuck to just bits of paper that were folded into a bin. And yeah, took a little bit more time to sort of gather the data. That instant feedback is a little bit faster on the mobile technology, but sometimes it can be painfully difficult to set up. And this leads on to another piece that is really interesting about all of this Apple situation, is that it's talking about stuff for the needs of the administrator. And this is what's key to me. This is why, and another thing that John Siracusa touches on there, is that, you know, that most of these pieces of software, be it the G Suite, and I'm, you know, I've not used any of these things necessarily, be it the management of devices, iPads and whatever, they are, and the systems they're worrying about are the systems that help the administration of those devices, the technology on those devices. It has very little consideration for the actual teaching activities going on, and the vast majority of edutech stuff out there is totally geared towards the administrative nature of the business, and has little concern over the pedagogy that might apply and be utilized through technology. Now, I know lots of teachers who are ensuring that this is not the case, but we are often faced with tools and services that are great for the administrator, not so great for the staff, and probably pretty useless for the students in most situations. You know, if you look at, you know, whether it be, you know, and again, you know, our older girls didn't go to school that long ago, but in that situation, you know, these were well-off schools. They didn't all have laptops and things. You know, most of the things where it involved using computers and whatever were, yeah, even media studies, where they'd go and use a lab, or they were still getting taught things like how to use Dreamweaver to make websites, or how to use Microsoft Office, instead of learning how to write, how to communicate, how to you know, how to type fast or whatever. So there was definitely some odd bits there in terms of, like, yes, we've got some computers, yes, we've got some software, let's teach the software. So this is a big thing, and I think this, again, is where Apple have got some of this wrong. It isn't, technology shouldn't be leading any of these choices. It should be an enabler around a number of other things. So again, an example I'll give you is I had spoke to a student recently who was interested in coming and do the games design and art course at Winchester School of Art that I'm the program leader for. And one of the questions that student asked me was, which do you prefer? Are you more 3D biased or 2D biased, talking about the course in general? And now this was an interesting question for a number of reasons, because she'd had responses from other institutes that had been very much focused on the 3D. Now my response to this is, I don't care. I have no interest in the output that is required. What I'm interested in is, what is the idea? What's the thing we've got to do? Who are you trying to talk to? What are you trying to communicate? What's the best way of doing that? And now that could be 2D, 3D, VR, AR. It could be sticking yourself underwater in a camper van. It makes no difference what the piece of technology is. What you need to understand is that you might need to engage with technology, sure, to deliver the thing that you're interested in. But what's more important is understanding how you communicate the thing that you want to communicate, be that, you know, about gravity, be that selling a game, etc. And so all of the learning is not the piece of software at the end. All of the learning is figuring out what I might need to use. You know, figuring out how to use the piece of software, well, at the end of the day, you can bash away at that and get things done. Now, it can be frustrating if you struggle, like I do with a bunch of things around specific sort of coding ideas I have. It can be really frustrating if you struggle to realise that idea. But 9 times out of 10, work with someone else, work in a team, you know, work through the hard things, and you can get these things done, so long as it ties back to communicating that thing in the first instance in the most appropriate way. So let's come back to price. and iPads, you know, these are expensive devices. These are expensive devices that won't solve any of the problems that are faced by schools. Yes, the Apple Pencil is the best digital input, you know, pencil that I've ever used. It's fantastic. It's great for sketching and great for artists, etc. But it's expensive. It's a lot of money. And it's not something that's going to be used on a regular basis outside of, you know, the art and design and media. And hopefully get a few more of those things in there that are shared resource. You don't need to buy one for every student, you buy one for the class, etc. Makes a massive difference. In terms of like software, it's all about administration. It's not about supporting the environment, which again was great for me because I'm thinking about creating a piece of software that is led from the other end, from what does it mean to deliver the materials, what does it mean to be the teacher, what does it mean to be the student. And thankfully, Apple, who could be one of the only people to bring something out that would be show-stopping, didn't do that, which is good. Okay, in terms of like a classic example in funding, I think super interesting. So I went to a school recently to give a talk about games design. Fantastic school, great reputation, doing really great things. I came straight from my house to the presentation. So I've got a new MacBook Pro 15-inch, don't talk to me about the keyboard, with obviously USB-C. And so I have a myriad of adapters, like all the adapters. But I only had my HDMI USB-C adapter in my bag. I do have a VGA one in the office, but I left it there. Got to the school. First thing I said is, the projectors you've got HDMI, they're not. The lecture theatre they've got is not got HDMI. So we moved to another room, and one of the technicians there, fantastic guy, you know, sort of unplugged a whole like media system just to get me a HDMI lead. Now, you know, talking about cost, yes, they are getting all their projectors slowly upgraded to HDMI. And that's not a, you know, that is a device that's going to benefit the whole school, you know, it's going to be there long term, etc. You know, this isn't about like, you know, hundreds of iPads. And I'm not talking about an underfunded, you know, school. I'm talking about a school in a privileged area that is still struggling, you know, because they know their resources and their money is probably 9 times out of 10 better spent elsewhere. So I think that probably concludes most of the things I want to say in terms of education from the Apple event. I think it's the same as every education technology every company that has a technology background that approaches education. If you want to read more about that, Audrey Waters, I'll put a link in the show notes as well. It does talks some fantastic stuff about that. Of course, if you want to see, you know, me attempting to make some crazy new type of interface that helps to teach design, well, helps to support design education, then you can follow my YouTube channel, this podcast, and all the other kind of media that I'm on. The other thing that's been happening this week is I've been fiddling around a lot with trying to create some interesting interface ideas, which has gone really slowly. But I've also, just to let you know, my Patreon page is all set up. So if you're interested in the things that I'm doing, you can support those ongoing costs, be that the PhD itself or the servers and silly things that I happen to run. There's a bunch of really other cool people that are on Patreon. And I would recommend checking out if you're an artist or a designer who's looking to get, you know, rally some support. It's a great platform. I've got to admit, you know, I've been a big fan of being open and using Creative Commons and, you know, thinking differently about how you monetize, because we all have to earn money, how you monetize the things that you undertake. And I'm really a big fan of, you know, people like Alan Watts, who talks about, going for the thing you love. And when you become a master of something, there will be value, others will gain value from that. And I was kind of thinking on the drive here, I wonder if you could extend that patron model out to other areas of society, you know. So I appreciate my bins being collected, I appreciate my post being delivered, you know, there's a flat, you know, I appreciate my milk being delivered, you know, there's a flat fee for some of those things. But I wonder whether we could, whether there's a way that sort of deciding the values you put upon these things could be different, so that those with more can contribute more, those with less, you know, can still value from these things. So that leads on to the final point, actually, which I was going to make about the education. And again, John Syracuse says it much better than me, is that, education is for everyone, and the Apple devices are too expensive, too niche, and are not for everyone. And it's definitely, Apple is not in it for education.